It is good to be back. We are, I say we, but yeah, we're doing things a little bit differently today. One thing you won't notice, at least in the beginning part of this episode, is Brad's voice. Currently, our friend Brad is in the air on the way to Los Angeles. He is going to meet the Dodgers in Los Angeles. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers on winning the World Series. Go Blue. So Brad's on his way to LA. He doesn't have his podcast equipment and he's out of commission for the weekend. So, and if you haven't noticed, we didn't drop an episode this week yet. But we did record a preview. There was just a couple editing things behind the scenes that I was going to try and work in. And I guess this is another mini announcement. We did secure a sponsor for the pod as well. Not a title sponsor. We haven't really figured out or ironed out all the details in that. But we did bring up a sponsor and a potential ad read at the end of the episode, or at the end of the episode we recorded on Sunday, which we are not going to run the ad read, that is. But we are going to end up dropping that podcast. I'm going to attach it on the end of this, but I got a couple things I wanted to get through. There's a little bit of smoke. I'll do a mini preview. I'm not going to be able to do justice to what Brad does with the previews. That's 100% his brainchild. It's cool to sit there and listen to him spew all that information at me. But yeah, it's we do have a sponsor. We're not gonna have an ad read in this episode. But yeah, a lot of cool things happening behind the scenes. But yeah, that's kind of why the episode didn't drop. I was trying to figure out how to splice in the ad read, where it should go, how that editing was gonna work. And so yeah, so and then with the Dodgers kind of wrapping up the series and Brad kind of impromptu hopping on a trip to LA. And with me being so busy with work, him being so busy with work, it was hard for us to get on the phone and communicate this week for a podcast episode. So yeah, we're doing it a little bit differently. But we do have some smoke. I am going to jump right into it. The biggest news for this week, obviously, is Curtis Work is confirmed. He is going to play this weekend. Coach Sig said that on his radio show today. I guess, I mean, just stating the obvious, it's huge news. Work has been bar none the best quarterback in the nation. He's been in the Heisman conversation. He kind of obviously fell out of it because he wasn't playing. But this is huge news. It's absolutely huge news. Taven Jackson was admirable filling in. He was great in spurts, obviously, during the Nebraska game. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. Now the keys go back to Rourke, and you know we're in good hands. So I'm pretty curious to see what he looks like. But yeah, it's just good to have him back on the field, and the fact that he's going to play means that he's feeling good. So that's good stuff. D'Angelo Pons was named the number one impact transfer of the season so far, according to On3. Justice Ellison was number nine on that list. Ellison has also been the fourth highest graded running back, according to Pro Football Focus. Also, another note for Ellison, he tweeted this earlier today, but he said his grandma had passed away recently from leukemia. So our thoughts and prayers are going out to Justice and his family. But he said to honor her, he's dedicating every touchdown he scores for the rest of the season to raise money for Be Positive. That is the Be Positive Foundation to provide. They provide financial assistance to families of children battling cancer. Justice tweeted this out. We reposted it off the podcast Twitter account. But you can make a pledge at champsrise.com-athletes- I think that's got to be Justice Ellison. But he tweeted the link. Go check that out. But yeah, he's doing good stuff on and off the field, and you know, obviously thoughts and prayers to him and his family as well. Let's go this way first. There was a bunch of Mike Kadick Halloween costumes, which I thought was very funny, very creative from the Indiana football fans. Kind of going hand in hand with that, or I guess with potential costumes. Home Field released the Lee Corso replica sweater from 1979. So that's on sale now. For as long as those last, you can go try and pick that up. Oh, one more Justice Ellison kind of nugget. If you don't know who Kenya Hunter is, he's an Indiana basketball assistant. But Ellison and Hunter had a relationship before Ellison came to Indiana. That came out, I think, today or yesterday, which I thought was pretty cool. The offensive line has allowed, or the this past game, they allowed zero tackles for loss for the first time in a game since 2013. I can't say enough about the job Bob Bostead has done with the offensive line, and obviously those guys in the room individually and as a unit. It's been, to repeat this over and over again, when you have a position you think is going to be a question mark, and then you roll into the season and it's actually the strength of your football team. That's how you have, that's how you build great football teams, is it's great coaching and great players and all that good stuff. And it's I'm it's really, really, really cool to see that this offensive line is playing at such a high level, especially because this isn't what we're expecting coming into the season. So shout out to the guys in that room. Speaking of lines playing at a high level, Tyreek Tucker is the third was the third highest graded defensive tackle in week 9. CJ West was the number 9th. And Mikhail Kamara, he's number 3 in the nation in QB pressures. So this defensive line is getting after the quarterback. Those boys are playing really well at a high level. The offense, obviously, playing at a really high level. Indiana has the most first half points in the nation through 9 weeks. They also have, I think, the most second half points in the nation. This is obviously a really explosive offense, regardless of who's behind center. And yeah, it's led to a really, really fun football season, as me, you, and everybody else has kind of figured out here. D'Angelo Pons was named the Jim Thorpe National Defensive Back of the Week. Shout out to D'Angelo Pons. He had a sick week. Try five, get six. Hopefully appearing on a t-shirt soon. That'll be super dope. But shout out to the Pons family, the coming out party for D'Angelo Pons. We knew what we were looking at. But to have the, again, we talked about this with Sean Asbury a couple weeks ago. But yeah, these guys are playing really, really well. It's just some, obviously you don't always have the stats to back up how well you're playing. That's why you need to watch the film. And I'm telling you, sitting here, like, I'm watching film, but I'm seeing the results. And damn, I don't know. It was cool to see Pons obviously get that type of recognition, because he's essentially locked down an entire side of a field. The Indiana wide receiver room, all of them. Well, I don't know if it was all of them, but the wide receiver room appeared on Miller Rakoff's podcast. So go check that out. 2026 recruit, Zakai Helton. That's a teammate of Juju Lewis. Obviously, here at the number one Juju Lewis podcast, not only in the nation, in the world, we're obligated to put the spotlight on Juju. But he announced, Helton did. Helton announced his top seven that included heavy hitters like Florida State, Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, Miami, Colorado, and Indiana, obviously. And then I think, well, obviously, first and foremost, it's important for Indiana to get through Michigan State. And that's where I do kind of wish Brad was going to rip through his whole, here's the history of Michigan State and all this good stuff. Maybe he'll give us like a post-game history breakdown. We'll see. But this is a huge game, obviously, because Tuesday is a massive day. Like, Tuesday is the day that the College Football Playoff Committee releases their first rankings of the season. And obviously, as we've seen in the AP poll and the coaches poll, the preseason biases against Indiana are holding strong. This is a team that hasn't been able to push past number 13. They beat Washington at home by 2 touchdowns with a backup quarterback and didn't move up. Brad and I talked about this on Sunday. You'll hear that coming up a little bit, like, shortly. But the fact that they didn't, like, the fact that they didn't move up and they were jumped by A&M and teams like Notre Dame are still above them, it's frustrating. But at the end of the day, those rankings don't matter. And the college football playoff rankings are the only ones that matter. And that committee is going to deliberate after this week and figure out what the hell they're looking at. And so obviously it's imperative Indiana goes in and look and wins and looks good against Michigan State. And I don't think they're going to have any issues with Michigan State. But I'm curious to see where the committee puts Indiana. Do they show the Hoosiers the respect of, like, if you're going to look at this season in a vacuum, like, I don't understand how you can't say Indiana's been one of the best teams in the country. Like, just if you're going to look at, like, opponents, look at what Indiana did to Nebraska and look at what Ohio State had to do to beat Nebraska. I mean, I don't know if I need to say much more than that. So I'm very curious to see what the College Football Playoff Committee does. Joel Klatt had about a 2.5 minute rant on Indiana being disrespected and how the playoff committee should show them more respect. And we'll see. Because the playoff committee is supposed to look at this season independently and not take into account the preseason polls. They're supposed to be, it's a snapshot of who's playing well right now. And if we see the same Indiana team we've seen all season, show up on Saturday, then they're gonna look pretty damn good again. And so I don't think they're I mean, maybe I don't watch enough football, but like this is a, very clearly a top five team in the country. And so we'll see what happens on Tuesday. But just briefly on Michigan State, I'm really just looking at how Rourke looks. Obviously, can he grip the football? Can he throw the football? If he's able to physically do like play the position, which obviously I think he is because he's playing in the game, then the offense is going to run the way we've seen it run. I don't think now I'm this isn't to say Michigan State isn't talented because obviously they are talented. Like I think they have a good head coach. I'm a fan of Childs, regardless of how much fun I have at his expense of the fact that he turns the ball over a lot. And like I like Carter, the running back. He's good. They have some playmakers on the outside. They're young. They're frisky. They're kind of figuring things out. They were another team, like 60 something new guys coming in. But just like, if you look at the level at which this Indiana team is executing, and then you look at the teams that Michigan State has struggled to play against, I can't sit here and say I'm really that worried about Michigan State. The other thing, obviously, is can we continue to establish the run? Ellison had 29 carries this past weekend. Tyson Lawton was a little beat up. Coach Sig alluded to Kalon Black playing a little bit more on special teams, being selfless. So I would like to see what the run game looks like on the road. Tough environment. The students are going to be there. It is a rivalry game. It is the old brass platoon game, I think. The brass platoon game. So we'll see. It's going to be a really fun environment. But yeah, I just think Indiana's like just levels above Michigan State. And then which Aiden Childs shows up? If we get the Aiden Childs who's chucking the ball over the field the early part of the season, essentially throwing it up for grabs, like we're going to have another Indiana defensive back be National Player of the Week. If we get a locked in, dialed in Aiden Childs, that maybe looks like he takes the next step. This could be, I don't even want like Michigan State's not on Michigan State's not on Indiana's level. That's just the reality of this. And so the goal of the Hoosiers obviously is to win and make it look good. But yeah, we did record an episode like I said on Sunday that we are going to release attached on the back end of this. Ignore the fact that we are talking about an ad read because it didn't obviously happen in the episode. However, the ad read is coming, so that's exciting stuff. Yeah. Solo pod, first time. We'll see how it goes. But appreciate everybody for hanging out, listening. Go Hoosiers. And yeah, here's Brad and I from Sunday. Appreciate you guys. See ya.
We're gonna change the culture, the mindset, the expectation level, and improve the brand of Indiana Hoosier football.
Championship teams, they find ways to win games. And that's what we did today. Kurt Cignetti, yesterday, after the Indiana Hoosiers dominated the Washington Huskies. Can we use dominated?
No, they beat them.
They beat them. Convincingly?
Handily.
They won by two touchdowns. Handily. The Hoosiers won by two touchdowns. Yeah, the number 13 Indiana Hoosiers, the still number 13 ranked Indiana Hoosiers. And I want to like let you charge up for a second because I know you texted me. You were pretty upset about this today. I was pretty heated about this, but I want to talk about some positive stuff first. The pride I felt, Brad, in this goddamn university this weekend, seeing Bloomington, seeing the atmosphere for game day, which we'll get to in a second, like seeing what felt like people come out of the woodworks. God, it was awesome. It was awesome. It's one of the few, I mean, I'm always proud to be an alumni, but like it's one of the few sporting moments since we graduated, really, where it's like
the entire world is looking at Indiana and they're just delivering constantly over and over again. It's like, I can't do anything but smile. I'm beaming. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm at a loss for words on a podcast. It was really good to see. I obviously had butterflies in my stomach from the whole game day thing going on. Obviously, that's a little daunted of me. I was confident we're going to win, but, you know, there's always that thing in the back of my mind, like, we are going in with a backup quarterback, and the matter is, we won with a backup quarterback by 2 touchdowns. It doesn't really matter how they've been played. This team, Rourke's going to come back, as we know, so this team is only going to improve, and they're just showing how dominant they can be without their best player, which is what championship teams do. And you have, you know, it's even so impressive that you have even more schools like Ohio State's and USC saying that they want Cignetti.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Just look at that. I mean,
your Michigan right people now saying it too.
The Kurt Cignetti What the Fuck Fact of the Week is back this week. He is the first coach in college football history to start 8-0 in consecutive seasons at two different schools. 10-0 last year at James Madison, 8-0 obviously this year with the Hoosiers. Like, he's doing shit that literally has never been done before. Like, yeah, everybody in the country should want this guy. And that's why it's, like, imperative. And I'll jump a little bit here. But my favorite sign from game day was literally, it was a blank check. Shout out to the fan who brought in the blank. Yeah, that was incredible.
We were talking about that for a while.
Yeah. Like, now is the time. It's like, he triggered another bonus, which is, like, again, may as well be irrelevant at this point. Like, that contract should get tossed out. It's like the Dolson statue gets built right next to the Cignetti statue as long as that guy stays in Bloomington for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he's just got to do it. We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. We're able to get a million-dollar facility in a
Saturday. Yeah, the Derek Owings highlight was really fucking cool. It was like, that's one of the huge things that Sig does too, is he puts the spotlight on a lot of his coaches. And to have that like 3.5-minute game day feature on Derek Owings and the entire strength and conditioning department, and kind of how that whole system and even that building developed even since Sig and Co. got there. Super, super cool, because we've been singing the praises of Derek Owings for, you know, as long as we've known about him. But it's like, yeah, you don't exactly think of the strength and conditioning coach when you're talking about a college football team in the national spotlight, right? But it's like, yeah, obviously, that's a huge part of why they're running away from teams in the third and fourth quarter, is that guy and his staff.
The second half was a clear sign that it couldn't have been more fitting for the Derek Owings shout-out, because that's exactly what happened, is that they just outclassed, outgritted, out just moved the other guy more than the other team.
Did you realize this was the Sinceri Bowl?
I didn't realize Vinny was on the staff with UW. He's the guy that juked out. He played at Bama, and he juked out Manziel in a pick six.
I thought it was really funny, because I remembered hearing something about it. I can't remember if it was pregame or like just like in doing some preview stuff, that he was on the staff, and then I forgot about it. And then during the game, like, I think Taven or somebody ended up on the Washington sideline, and someone who looked like shockingly similar to Tino, like, helped him up or whatever, patted him on the back, like, same, like, tall, shoulders back, no hat on, like, sunglasses, like, oddly same buzz cut. I was like, God damn, that guy looks a lot like Tino Sinceri. That is super, super odd. And they're like, oh, and Vinny Sinceri. And I was like, oh my God, it's his fucking brother. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah. That was hilarious.
Now, I'm a big fan of him as a player. He was really good at Alabama. He probably had a better college career than Tino. Yeah, I think he won a national title.
You know who's also been really good?
Who?
Sid Parrish. She has not missed with a single Mike Kadick post-game, post-dub photo. This past one, I think, was him in, American flag overalls. It's phenomenal stuff. Yeah, she hasn't missed
once. We're pro-American.
Sniper on the court, sniper on Twitter. Yeah, we should get her on the pod. They should. I wonder if that race is actually going down.
It probably will.
Maybe like Little Five weekend.
It's cool seeing all the different athletes interact and, you know, collaborate on stuff like that. It's fun.
I don't know if you saw this, Brad, but the hit song, the smash hit song, We Are IU, is making a massive comeback.
I did see that. That people were saying it's underrated. I'm honestly not a huge fan of the song, to be honest.
I feel like Indiana hasn't had a reason to get behind that song. Like, it always felt, like, it sounded, to me it sounded good. Like, the lyrics sound good. It's like, yeah, we don't leave till it's over. It's like,
they should come up with a new song.
That has never happened before. Yeah, there should be a kind of like a remix, but like now, like, everybody doesn't leave until it's over, and like the shit they said in that song is actually happening. So I like a little secondary shelf life for We Are IU next to This Is Indiana. I feel like we could use it.
Yeah, no, I agree. There has to be some sort of like hype song with it.
You need a football song.
Nothing. I mean, that This Is Indiana. Like, nothing's gonna beat that. That's an all timer.
Yeah, but that's a basketball song. Now we've had a football song, but we just haven't had a reason to use it. Now I feel like We Are IU making a huge comeback. So obviously, hashtag thank you, Nebraska.
They could remix This Is Indiana with the football remix, because all the rapping is basketball, but all the chorus is general IU. It's not necessarily football oriented. So they could do something there. There's something to work with.
We could get in the lab. We know some people.
Because This Is Indiana, yeah, we do it big. Busting all the Big Ten, you know what it is.
I'm going to have to cut out this whole part.
We gave
Six
credit.
Inside the musical.
We gave credit. Yeah.
Should we do a Christmas album, Brad? Six album. Inside the musical.
The musical.
It's all Indiana football themed Christmas songs.
I can't even think of anything off the top. We're going to have to really brainstorm here.
Yeah, no, we are going to have to brainstorm. I was trying to, like, pull stuff and, like, I don't know. I don't.
Maybe we should have had stuff prepared.
too much creative juices are flowing right now. I got too creative for my own good there. Circle back in. All right. Are you ready to unload here? Because I do want to talk about this. Because I have thoughts from one side. I have thoughts from another side. I see some justifications. The AP poll obviously comes out every Sunday. Indiana was ranked 13th in the coaches poll, 13th in the AP poll. If that sounds familiar, it's because that's exactly where they were last week after they beat Nebraska. So, Brad, I know you texted me today and you were pretty upset. I want to let you get some things off your chest. What do you got for me?
I mean, it's just very interesting that, you know, everyone watches the same games, and for some reason, a team that, you know, struggles with Nebraska is ranked higher than Ohio State, and they even have a loss. At this point, you know, there shouldn't be too many one-loss teams ranked above Indiana. They haven't trailed all season. They're the first team. They were first all-time since 2020 in scoring margin in the first seven games. They're the first team since 1998, Kansas State, to never trail through eight games.
Yeah. No, I think it's utterly ridiculous that if you look at, like, well, let's use Ohio State as the example because that's the elephant in the room. I think there's one opponent or one team that's ranked in front of Indiana that has a like opponent, and that is Ohio State with Nebraska. And Indiana and Ohio State both got Nebraska at home, and Indiana beat them by fucking 50, and Ohio State won by 4. I'm also looking at Notre Dame, who lost to NIU, and the team that jumped Indiana was Texas A&M, who beat LSU, and everybody knows how I feel about LSU. That team stinks.
I mean, are they still ranked behind LSU?
No, LSU fell behind Indiana, but Texas A&M jumped Indiana for beating LSU. Like, Indiana, somebody fell out now, which is why I was like, well, regardless, Indiana should move up. But it's no, they took Texas A&M and they jumped Indiana because A&M beating LSU is somehow LSU. People forget LSU lost to USC, who's a middle of the pack Big Ten team. Notre Dame lost to NIU.
There is no reason why Indiana shouldn't be ranked at least 8 right now.
There's none.
They're better than Iowa State, Clemson, A&M, BYU, Notre Dame, just based on what you've seen on the field. There's no explanation. You could argue they should be ranked higher than Tennessee because they have a loss. And maybe even Texas. They could be ranked as high as 6. There's no reason they should be ranked above Ohio State. These rankings don't make any sense. They did drop in those Massey ratings that I referred to. They are ranked 11, but even then, you know, just based on resume. There's a couple computer rankings out there that have them ranked one. There's no reason why they shouldn't be ranked in the top 10 right now. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I do think if you're going to say that Indiana didn't prove that they were a better team this week than they were last week, and that's why their ranking didn't improve, like, that's the only way I'd even listen to a conversation about it. But even that doesn't make sense. Like, you go into a game where Herb Street picked them to lose. Like, Desmond Howard picked them to lose. Like, people are picking him to lose this game. This game wasn't even a touchdown on the line. I think it closed at 5.
They covered with a backup quarterback. That's as simple as it gets. It's absolutely ludicrous. And obviously these rankings don't mean anything right now because we have the CFP coming up. So, like, you're not going to see me get super heated about this just yet. But it's just very frustrating to see. I do want to shout out the Ohio State AP voter. His top four is Oregon, Penn State, Indiana, and Ohio State. He ranks Indiana above Ohio State, so he can put Ohio State at 4. Absolutely love it. I don't know how the rest of this. He's the only guy to rank Ohio State below Indiana in the entire voting.
I mean, he's the guy. He's the only guy who's been watching the game.
They need a good loss. They need a good loss. That's what needs to happen. So if Ohio State beats them by a touchdown, they'll go up, which is absolutely ludicrous because everyone's just riding off Indiana. So it's honestly going to be a good thing. So it's just going to give them so much more motivation.
This team didn't need any, like, if you're worried about this team staying humble or needing bulletin board material, it's just like, everybody still thinks you suck. It's like, that's insane.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Andy Staples doesn't think we suck, though. Andy Staples, for On3 Bracketology, has Indiana hosting Ohio State in a first-round playoff game.
Hosting.
Hosting.
He doesn't think we could win the Big Ten. It's going to be tough.
I think we could win the Big Ten.
Penn State and Oregon could win out, and that's going to get really cheeky if, you know, we have 3 undefeated teams in the Big Ten at the end of the year.
But guess what? Penn State plays Ohio State this weekend.
Perfect.
We're going to find out real quick whether or not that Penn State team's legit. Because, again, if you're going to use a game against USC as a test, that doesn't tell me anything.
It's not a great sign. They took care of business against Wisconsin.
Bowling Green.
We'll talk about it later, but
yeah,
it looks pretty legit.
I do want to talk about some game day stuff. I thought Pat McAfee was absolutely in his element. You want to talk about combining, like, the football, the media, the WWE, like, everything was on display this weekend for him. When he's sitting at the desk doing his, like, 3.5-minute, like, monologue about, like, his connection to Indiana and being in a Hoosier family and Bloomington and like, chills, dude, chills. When he was saying, like, the great state of and setting up the crowd to scream Indiana. And when he got everybody everybody rocking on the hoo-hoo-hoo Hoosier. Like, dude, he was in complete control of the crowd.
That crowd was rowdy.
And it was like, they were rowdy. And it was like, you could tell the pride he felt in being able to showcase the state. And it's appreciated from somebody who went to school there and knowing, like, that this was a possibility. Like, yes, of course football could be successful on this campus. Are you kidding me? Have you seen the student body? Do you see who goes to school here? Like, what are we even talking about? You just need to put some effort into it. And then to see this, and this isn't even the culmination. This is fucking 8 games into the season. Like, this is nothing.
Not done yet.
This is going to be the norm. This is the norm, bro. We've leveled up completely. It was so cool to see. So cool to see.
It's going
to
continue. I don't think that's going to be our last time we have game day either. But it's great.
Heavens no.
It's great for you know, McAfee obviously being an IU ambassador, kind of an adopted, you know, ambassador of the school almost. He did marry into
more so of the
he
state.
Did marry into an IU family. And as being like kind of based in Indiana, he's kind of, you know, obviously he's going to represent the Yinzers and the Pittsburgh and rep all that. But he's also, you know, has the Indiana ties, and he's gonna be a great ambassador for the school moving forward. I don't appreciate the hate. I know he's not an alum, but him having that much reach, it's good to having that type of Indiana ambassador.
Yeah, 100%.
Especially since Lee Corso's time as a, you know, analyst is coming to an end. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair to say. It was great. I mean, it was really cool to see Corso up there in the Indiana sweatshirt, though, or in like the pullover, and to see him up with the Holiday Bowl team, and to get like to have that type of atmosphere for a former coach who's seen the lowest of lows of this program, right? And just to have, like, that's a guy who literally gave time, effort, energy, like, dedication into that university, and to see where, like, how far it's come. Yeah, it was really, really cool to see. Like, I know people have, like, as you just alluded to, like, Corso's time on ESPN is probably coming to an end, and maybe rightfully so, right? But it's still cool to get moments like this, and like for that, like that moment, it was cool to have him around for sure.
Yeah, it was just a classic look with Corso, you know, interacting with, you know, Cignetti, and then having Saban up there too. Like Cignetti's, you know, what do you want to call it, master or
mentor, master,
mentor, Jedi master. He's his Padawan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was just great to see, you know, the whole little reunion. They were loving, you know, Corso obviously doing his thing, you know, up there. But, you know, Cignetti, the whole panel up there with, you know, Cignetti and the whole squad. That was really cool.
Yeah, the quote after his interview when he's sitting there and he gets up and he goes, "I've got work to do," and walks off the set.
I wish he would do the Hoosiers.
That's literally the only thing. That's like my, if there's one critique of the entire Kurt Cignetti era, it's the, but also like, here's my other thought, and this is how I get around it. Guy wants to create his own thing. He just wants to create his own thing. If Kurt Cignetti wants Go IU to be the damn thing, God damn it, Go IU's the thing. I don't even
give the
fuck.
Man what
I
he wants.
I literally don't care.
Give the man
I'll give
what
him what
he
wants.
Wants.
I have no issues with Go IU. If that man wants Go IU to be the chant, Go IU will be the chant. We can do them all. Plenty of time in a football game to get rowdy.
Plenty.
I love Go IU. I also like the fact that, like,
it rolls off the tongue.
Nobody really knows what's going on until he just, like, screams at you. He's like, "Stay Go IU!" And everybody's like, "Okay! Yeah!" There's no, like...
Go
there's no lineage to it. It's just he decided that's what it is. It's like, I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm quoted as saying I want the Cignetti family to be like, I literally in like 50 years, to, like the Cignettis to be like a top 50 richest family in the world. They'd be like, how did the Cignetti family build their wealth? It's like, oh, well, Kurt Cignetti was the head coach of Indiana football, and that's how it started.
And then he bought Bitcoin, and it went to the moon.
And then they gave him a lifetime contract, and he won every national title.
Yeah, I think this team's, like, back to the top 10 thing. Like, there's no reason for this team to not be in the top 10. They're serious national contenders.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that Michigan. I can't wait for them to blow out Michigan.
I thought Schwarber's get-up, do-up outfit, whatever you want to call it, where he's rocking the candy-striped pants, the football jersey, and the helmet, the baseball helmet, he looks phenomenal. Schwarber was – I can't believe either of us didn't say him. He was the perfect choice.
He was the perfect choice, and – yeah, it's just another great athlete being involved with the football program, and he's our most famous active athlete right now. Has to be.
You think more people know Schwarber than like TJD or like Vic?
Yeah. Vic's not playing anymore.
That's fair.
Yeah, but he was great. The whole get-up, baseball helmet, football jersey, basketball warm-ups.
Dude, he understood the assignment.
Yeah, he was ready to roll.
And he went 8-1.
Is he gonna be top of the?
He went 8-1 in his picks, and I think the only one he got wrong, he picked one of the service academies. Probably Navy, because they got whooped.
Yeah, he's gonna be at the top of the graphic the rest of the year. How great is that?
It's all coming up, Hoosiers.
Well, game day is probably going to be there for Indiana, Ohio State, I think.
Yeah, I mean, where else would they be going that week? But you want to know what's crazy? And I will hop right into the game preview after this. But, like, Cignetti got introduced, what was it, November 30th? I can't remember the exact date. But he stood there in Lucas Oil Stadium on that desk with, like, six fucking people on it. And he was like, I'm going to be back. Like, we're going to be back here next year. And every single person on that desk, and whoever heard that quote, like, literally laughed at him.
Laughed.
Like, yeah, right. Okay, buddy. Like, I'll have what you're having. two of those, please.
He's gonna fucking do it.
Are you kidding me? Like, this guy? Lunatic. This guy, man. This guy.
I'm so confident going into Columbus.
I'd literally fall him off a cliff. I'd fall him off a cliff. Like, if he pointed at a cliff and he was like, you just keep walking, there's a bridge there. Just go. I'd walk off the cliff.
As long as Rourke's 100% going to that Columbus game, I'm so confident that we're going to go out of there with a dub.
Yeah, let's jump into the game. Let's jump into the game. But, you know, the Big Ten title game, like, playoff picture, like, this is real now. Like, it's real. Like, this isn't just us, like, talking about it in our rooms, whatever, like, bullshitting behind closed doors. This is a very real conversation. Like, this team's going to push for the playoff the rest of the year. Like, get used to it, because we're here.
Yeah, an absolute grind fest in this Washington game. Like, they finally showed us that they can win, like, an old school slugfest in a Big Ten game, which is what it was. Like, Washington's a very frisky team. They're very talented. It's very obvious. Like, the running back's really good. Jonah Coleman, he had a great game. But we also, our back, you know, had an even better game. I'm giving my first helmet sticker to Justice Ellison. Really setting the tone. 29 carries, absolute bell cow, 123 yards, and a touchdown. Getting his third 100-yard performance of the year. He's clearly the lead back at this point. When we need to grind it out, we're going to be feeding Justice Ellison.
Yeah, I think 29 carries says that. You want to talk about not expecting that. Like, yeah, when John Harbaugh sat there and told the media that the Ravens didn't bring in Derrick Henry to give him the ball 30 times, you're like, okay, buddy. And then the next week they gave him the ball 30 times. It's like when Coach Sig spent the offseason saying they like to rotate backs, and then like for 7 weeks we rotated backs the way they told us. It's like, you want to tell him, like, if you showed me the box score after this, that would be the thing I circled. 29 carries for Ellison is insane. And he looked phenomenal.
Yeah, especially, well, the first half, we were at about, like, we're getting about 2 yards of carry from both Ellison and Lawton. And then the second half, after not getting that, you know, second and inches conversion to go through, we had to settle for a field goal. Radchich gets his third knock of the year. Had to settle for one again. It was a rare Radchich sighting. It was, I think, the offensive line took it personally, and just, you know, with Derek Owings clinic in the second half.
Well, the offensive line, I thought that's where you were going with your helmet sticker, because I think the entire offensive line deserves a helmet sticker. Like, Carter Smith, Drew Evans, Bray Lynch, Kadick, Wettig, like, they were all phenomenal. Phenomenal. Like, and Ellison was ridiculous, too. But, like, those guys, I'll beat this to death, but for that unit to be the strength, the core of this team, like, Taven was fine. He did some good, he did some bad, whatever. They threw the ball 5 times in the second half, Brad.
They didn't give up a sack.
Five. They threw the ball 5 times in the second half. And ran away with the football game. Bob Bostead, stand up, man. Like,
helmet sticker take a bow. For Bob Bostead.
Take a bow. Like, I mean, good God. It's like, do you want to talk about a classic, like, rely on your defense and run game, Big Ten, slugfest, like, need to drag this out, like, championship mindset? Like, listen, Taven's good. He's got all the talent in the world. When things go perfectly for him and it looks good, it looks incredible. Like the ball he ripped to Omar Cooper on the second touchdown, like silky smooth, perfect, perfect ball placement, perfect timing. Everything looked great. But they threw the ball 5 times in the second half.
Yeah, it was clear, you know, a lot of the passing game wasn't working. They're basically begging Taven to throw, but it just wasn't clicking. He was missing throws, and one resulted in a pick. He missed Surratt on that go. That was a bad miss. So, you know, things weren't – they're baiting Indiana to win one-on-one. They were to a capacity. Like, the first play of the game, Price dropped the ball. Second play of the game. Things just weren't clicking like they usually do with Rourke when he starts the game. So they were just off to a slow start. Maybe give him another shot. He'd be fine. He'd probably do better against Michigan State coming up this week if he had a play.
Well, it's a lot of what Rourke does so well is like the pre-snap stuff. And without obviously knowing exactly what the play calls are and without being able to hear the line of scrimmage, you can't say this for certain, but I would guess that there are things Rourke does pre-snap with understanding where the ball is supposed to go and getting guys lined up in the right spot that go hand in hand with the offense being as good as it is, right? So like the offense is quarterback friendly, but the quarterback's got to be able to run it. So it's like there were things like Sig talked about, like potentially not motioning people at the right time, and there's still being some things for Taven Jackson to work on. It's like, yeah, that all showed up. But for Washington to have an understanding of that, because those are good coaches on the other side. Washington is a really well-coached football team. They blocked really well. They tackled well. They didn't give up a ton of explosive plays. Indiana was just better, and they were just relied on their defense and run game to do it.
They bullied them in that second half. Like, that was a good Washington team. Like they're very frisky. They have a tough schedule. They've had some bad luck early in the year, losing some games they definitely should have won. This is now eight straight games now where, dude, the travel thing is not real. BYU smoked UCF.
UCF's a bad football team, though. It's like you have to, when teams are closer to even, which is why the USC thing is like, that's not a great football team because they're basically Rutgers. You know what I mean? Like, Penn State traveled and got pulled down to USC's level.
Yeah,
like,
the favorites have been winning in that game, typically. They've been covering.
Yeah. In those games. I think we're doing a disservice to D'Angelo Pons by not mentioning him yet. I mean, you want to talk about helmet sticker.
You stole it. I was gonna get there.
I'm here. I mean, this was the D'Angelo Pons coming out party. Like, and honestly, the fact that, like, we haven't really said his name too much this year has been a testament to how good he has been. Nobody's really throwing the football at him. The only really guy who's been able to give him any sort of trouble was Prather for Maryland, and he's giving up like 8 inches on the guy. And it was like one play.
He got burned. He got burned in that Maryland game. It happens. But it's clear that it was the coming out party, superstar in the league, all conference performance there. First player since 2020 in the Big Ten to get 2 picks in a game.
Yeah, the ball he intercepted and ran back for a touchdown. Like, I've said this story multiple times. I literally have only seen this happen once. There was a dude for Red Bank Catholic named Eddie Hahn who played quarterback and safety, and he jumped a bubble screen like that. I've never ever seen it happen. The play was stupid. To make the adjustment, because it looked like he was coming on pressure, because I've watched the play a couple times. It looked like Pons was supposed to be coming on a blitz, recognized the play, and just fell, like, ended up in the right gap. But to react that quickly and make that kind of play is just special.
Yeah, he reacted very quickly. Tyreek Tucker's the one who made that play. He hit Will Rogers' arm. The ball came out funny. It kind of just fell into Pons, and he ran it back for a touchdown. But like you said, he was just doing his job and made a play. I think the team was all over that bubble screen, though. I think they recognized the play. He did kind of branch 100%. Out a little bit.
They saw formation, something.
Even if Rodgers got that ball off, that would have been a pick six.
Yeah, even if it was clean, you're throwing it right to him. He was there.
You have to shout out Tyreek Tucker on that play.
I like great. That. I like that. But I don't know if you've seen Buffed Prime on Twitter, but there's a guy, Buffed Prime, who's been like singing. He this guy has been all over Ponds. Like he wanted, I think he wanted Colorado. I think that's the angle he was taking. Honestly, I have no idea. But this dude's been like, can't stop talking about Ponds, right? And he's been on this a generational victory lap the last 24 hours, just clowning people about their pond stakes. It's been incredible. Buff Prime knows ball. That's all I got to say.
Love it. Love it. We already knew this, though. The second pick was the crazier play. He's going up against Denzel Boston, who's 6'4". He's got 7 inches on Ponds. Ponds is able to tip the ball in the air on a 50-50 ball, fall backwards, and make a play. He a DB with that type of ball skills, like, that's league. League him. That's an All-American player right there. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He's phenomenal. I thought Sean Asbury played great again.
He got a sack. Another one.
There was a lot of Terry Jones, too.
He's been getting a lot more tick. He's been getting more tick than Farrell.
Mm-hmm. Recently. Well, he's been playing for. They moved Farrell to the other safety spot, and he's been playing over Sanguinetti.
Ooh, is Sanguinetti hurt?
I don't think so.
Ooh,
I think.
Man, they're making little tweaks.
Yeah, it was a bye week tweak.
Ooh.
Yeah, Bones Jones has been playing a bunch too.
He was fourth on the team in tackles. A lot
of Roe Hardy. The Aiden Fisher thing was a little scary. That was a little funny, too. Whoever was on color commentary for this game for Big Ten Network was shaky at best.
Shaky at best. They're not that
shaky
great.
Shaky at
not
best. That great. He said something like Ponds was doing a little ditty or something like that after he scored the touchdown. And I was like, come on, yikes. Man. Come on. And then there's another point in the game where he's like, man, the Hoosiers are really going to miss Aiden Fisher as Fisher comes into the screen to make the tackle. And he's like, and there's Fisher on the tackle. And that's like right in the hole where Fisher would be as Fisher comes into the screen to make the tackle. It's like, all right, you're not even watching the game, bro. can't watch the field.
Brutal.
But yeah, the run game was ridiculous. Taven was good enough to win. I would like to see him use his legs a little bit more.
Yeah, the keeper was there most of the game, and then he took advantage of that one goal line play. I think there's a lot of plays Taven would like that back in that game.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely set up for him to have success. It just didn't quite happen. His pick was a DPI, so that wasn't really his fault.
Yeah, I didn't really think that was his fault. But, like, the accuracy was an issue.
Yeah,
like,
it wasn't. He sort of missed that throw anyways. But it was.
There's another play where he hit a Washington defender, like, right in the chest, and the guy just dropped it.
Yeah, that was a bad throw, too.
There was another play where there was an OPI that also probably should have been a pick.
Yeah, we'll clean it up.
There was definitely some things to clean up. Like, you're like, oh, like, after the Nebraska game where he just came out and it was like Nebraska was kind of already dead in the water and he looked phenomenal. I was like, okay, well, maybe you just kind of want Rourke to stay healthy. Give him the time, right, heal up from the injury. And now you're kind of hearing a little bit more of like, all right, let's get Rourke back for Michigan
gonna go.
State.
It was already announced that Rourke was going to give it a go for Michigan State before the game started. So I am nervous that there's screws in his throwing hand. That makes me very nervous.
I don't get nervous when guys play because they're playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're on the field.
As long as
he's
throwing the ball good, we'll be fine.
You either can play or you can't play. If you can't play, don't play. You know what I mean? But if you can play, then, like, you're on the field for a reason. Go play. Like, you should be healthy enough to go. It does feel a little bit weird that Indiana did win this game by 2 touchdowns, and it feels like it was like a three-point game, but it also feels like they dominated.
The pick six was like a 14-point swing almost. So that was the key play in this game. It was pretty even throughout. This is 8 straight games where Washington's outgained an opponent. and they're 4-4. How crazy is that?
And people want to clown the Hoosier defense. Doesn't matter how many yards you put up. They only scored 17 points. Like, cool, go nuts in between the 20s.
Yeah, they made the plays they needed to make to win the game once again. That's been a theme all year.
It is.
It's nice seeing consistency because it makes our recaps a lot simpler because everything, you know, makes sense for the most part. You know, the 109.
I don't enjoy the fact.
Play well, so we went to the run game, which we knew we were going to do. We take pride in the run game. We were able to stuff them in the second half, outlast them. Defense makes enough plays to get the job done.
Yeah, I don't know. I just never really felt threatened at any point, even though Taven wasn't playing well, and even though like Washington seemed like they were able to move the ball a little bit. It just like never felt like we were in trouble, which is weird considering this was a close game in the second half. I don't know. I think it speaks to how good this football team is. Like this is. I was texting a bunch of different groups of Hoosiers. Like, this is a legitimate football team. Like, these guys could beat anybody in the country. They deserve to be talked about in that light. They're in the national conversation. 13 is disrespectful. And they get a chance to go out there and match up against a Michigan State team that's going to give them plenty of opportunities to win. And then they get Michigan at home. And they have a chance to go and obliterate the state of Michigan.
Make a statement.
And continue to make statements. Any takeaways really from this game, Brad? Because it doesn't really feel like we... And here, this is the reason why I wasn't fully surprised by the fact that the Hoosiers didn't move up. Is like, I don't feel like we really learned much.
We didn't. This is about the same team that we thought they were. But we think of them as a top 5, top 8 team. Clearly, national media doesn't necessarily think that just yet. I do see a lot of Twitter pundits that are, you know, put in the top 10, which is great to see. Because they are. They are a top 10 team. So the ones that the real ball knowers know what's up. But yeah, we didn't really learn too much about this team. 8-0 feels good, though. 8-0 feels real good.
Hey, listen, you're only as good as your record says you are. And our record says we're one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, 1-0 each week. Gone 1-0 each week 8 times.
Yeah, I think my only, I guess, negative takeaway would be I feel like we do get exposed a little bit on the outside run, especially when it comes in the form of a reverse to a receiver. It feels like we can get stretched out a little bit and our aggressiveness gets taken advantage of. But that's going to happen when you're playing north-south.
Burris should have made that play. It was a miss. And then Fisher kind of oversold it. They were there to make the play. It just didn't happen. Washington's a good team. Like, you know, like good teams are going to make good plays. Like Giles Jackson's a very dynamic receiver. You know, they got
yeah,
in space
and good
schemed
coach.
Them up. Yeah, you know, you're not going to beat everyone 56-7. It's impossible.
Not everybody's Nebraska. Hashtag thank you, Nebraska.
Thank you, Nebraska. Thank you. Yeah, Washington's a damn good football team. They're very frisky. We're going to go through
Indiana
the power
just beat them by two.
Yeah.
And they just beat them by 2 touchdowns at home with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, they're probably the best 4-4 team in the country. I'm just going to say, they are the best 4-4 team in the country, Washington. I was very impressed with how they were moving the ball. And, you know, our defense played phenomenally, and they were still moving the ball. You know, Will Rogers didn't play amazing, but, you know, Jonah Coleman was really carrying him, and Will Rogers made enough plays to get enough first downs. Turnovers weren't – too many turnovers from him, but
– I was impressed with Boston, too. I thought he was –
Yeah, he's an NFL – that's an NFL player. Him and Jonah Coleman are NFL guys.
All right, you want to hop into these Goom rankings?
Hop in the Goom rankings? Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, so it's kind of like Goom rankings slash recap of the week.
Big Ten recap?
Yeah.
I want to start with Ohio State and Nebraska because I think this is important.
Well, no, I'm not going to do that.
No?
No.
Why?
Because we're going to get to it. We'll spend our fair share on it. Number one, I got Oregon after a very impressive win over Illinois, who was ranked 5 previously in my rankings the previous week. Getting the job done at home, they win by 29 points. Very impressive win. Good Illinois team. They look like the number one team in the conference. Very impressive win. The fact of the matter is that, you know, in my current rankings right now, Indiana hasn't played a top 10 team in conference yet, based on my power ratings. They haven't played a team that has, you know, 3 wins in conference yet. So it is like, you know, that they're doing it handily, obviously, and we've been saying that they're doing what top 10 teams look like.
Brad, how many Big Ten teams have played other Big Ten teams with 3 conference wins?
Oregon's beaten Ohio State and Illinois. And they get Michigan next week. They'll probably win that one, too. So Oregon, who I have ranked 1.
Okay.
Penn State, who beat Wisconsin last week. A very steaming Wisconsin team. They beat them handily, 28-13 on the road. Very impressive. Wisconsin had all the momentum in the first quarter with the fake punt. Didn't matter. They were, you know, trailing going after the first quarter, but they didn't really look back after that. You know, trailing at halftime, they took care of business, outscoring Wisconsin 21-3 in the second half. Tom Allen, masterclass, you could say. So I have them ranked 2. I have them ranked 2. And then Indiana at 3. Clearly, you know, the third best, at least third best team. They just haven't, you know, Indiana hasn't faced anyone just yet. We don't know yet.
I'm not, no. I'm not letting you do that. Nebraska was a top 10 defense when they played. Just because Indiana exposed them and fucked up the metrics doesn't mean they're not still good. Nebraska went into Ohio State and just pushed them at home.
Indiana's in the playoff contenders tier, so I don't know what you're complaining about.
Indiana hasn't played anybody bullshit. Like, you're just telling me, you just told me Washington was the best 4-4 team in the country.
Yeah.
That just came out of your mouth like 5 minutes ago, not even. And now you're telling me Indiana hasn't played anybody, but they just beat the best 4-4 team in the country?
Okay, they haven't played.
And the week before that, they just kicked the shit out of a team that hung with Ohio State on the road.
Okay, here this. Indiana hasn't played the hardest part of their conference, of their schedule yet.
That's fact.
Okay, there we go. That's a better way to say what I'm trying to say. Because Michigan and Ohio State are still their 2 toughest opponents. From what we've seen so far.
I think Ohio State... I don't know.
Washington, Nebraska.
I don't know what
very,
to think of
good.
Michigan.
Or, well, not like very, very good. They're very frisky. Can hang with teams in the conference. Do they come out with wins? No, not necessarily. But they hang around. They look.
There's good. Some like offensive, defensive, like EPA stuff that puts, like Nebraska, Washington, Maryland in that like mid tier of Big Ten teams.
Yeah.
That looks pretty good for Indiana.
Do I think? I think Indiana could beat Penn State and Oregon. That's not what I'm saying with these rankings right now. I'm just trying to make a
no. I think your rankings resume, are fine. I'm not letting you do the this team hasn't played anybody BS because they've kicked the shit out of all the teams that were supposed to be good
of the core 4, like the big 4 that they're playing at. Honestly, it's like 5 at this point because Michigan State's kind of at that level. They're 2-0. In those games. Number 4, we got Ohio State, who played Nebraska, who is the game that Keezer wants to get into. Because Nebraska had every opportunity to win that game.
They had the ball.
Every opportunity.
2 minutes left.
They got stuffed at the goal line the possession before. To go up. Or a few possessions before, and then they went up 14. They could have been up 2 scores.
It is like
they could have won that game. They had that goal line stop's gonna haunt them because they would have been up.
2 years from now, if you just got like junior Dylan Raiola and just didn't change a single thing about this Nebraska team, they'd probably drive down the field to win that game, right?
Yeah. Raiola threw a very bad pick at the end of the game. He looked like that was a freshman. That was such a freshman.
Looked a little like a freshman playing. Looked like literally
spit an image of like Josh Rosen and the Kyle Field when he had to go on the road against A&M. It's only like the worst pick you've ever seen. Just sail it over the receiver. Like, yeah, he played a great game, and then he did that to end it. So it's yeah.
He's 17.
Yeah.
He's an 18-year-old kid. Yeah. He's only lived by himself for 2 months. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's still getting lost on his way to class. Oh yeah.
It's clear Ohio State's not as good as Indiana. So
yeah,
they're lucky that they're getting us at home.
Is this the worst $20 million ever spent?
It's why you shouldn't spend that much on a roster. It's why I think
that's why you shouldn't Cignetti tell around, the public.
I don't think Cignetti's gonna be spending that type of money. I think he's gonna find his guys that, you know, maybe once, you know, teams maybe tail him, so they maybe have to throw a little bit more money at it. But as long as he's on his guys first in the portal.
Oh, dude, they're already tailing him. I'm seeing Cignetti Gator edits. I saw Cignetti and Ryan Day's black pullover the other day. Like,
that made me want to throw up.
It really did.
He did that. He'd be so dead to me.
He does feel very out of place as an Adidas school head coach. I will say that. And that is like the 2% doubt in my mind of like, it just doesn't make sense.
Don't make me nervous. Don't make me nervous.
I'm fucking terrified, dude. Can we just sign the contract? Sign the guy to a lifetime contract. I know the rumors and shit will always happen. There's no escaping.
We'll give him a lifetime
because the guy's literally the best coach in the country. Like, there's hands down, he's the best coach in the country. You can't argue with numbers. Men lie, women lie.
He can win at Indiana. I think he knows that. Anywhere. He knows that. So as long as they give him a lifetime, anywhere. If he can give him a lifetime contract, he's in the Big Ten already. He'll stay because he can do everything he wants to accomplish at Indiana. It's clear that the logo does not hold back a football team. It's clear.
The Sig 10, which I'm so pissed we didn't come up with, it fits so perfectly. Like, he just takes Indiana and becomes the best team in the Big Ten, and it's just like, yeah, there's your institution. Like, you can call it Cignetti Field at Memorial Stadium.
I love how Ohio State is now accepting already an Indiana defeat at home after he said it's a lose-lose for Indiana that – when Ohio State loses to Indiana, he'd be, you know, Ohio State's head coach by dinner time, is what he was saying. And there's no way that's true.
I devote negative time, effort, and energy into anything Ohio State says, writes, does. Like, I could care less about what that guy does in his day-to-day. And I respect his opinion zero.
Well, I hate
about Indiana football.
I hate Ohio State. That there's a clickbait monster. I follow.
He's good at his job, but I'm indifferent to anything that comes out of that guy's mouth because he's just a troll at the end of the day. Like, if he was an objective football fan, he'd be really nervous about that game.
Yeah.
And he should be circling our coach because we have a better coach than he does.
Yeah. And they're scared. And he's going to stay at Indiana. That's what they're scared of.
Yeah, fuck yeah, they are. Dude, I would be terrified. Because the only thing... not the only thing, but... There was so much working against this university in terms of being good at football, right? Because you're stuck in the division of death where you're getting Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan every single year. It's literally impossible to fucking recruit. You get two things that happen at the same time, obviously, and I'm not explaining, this isn't new news to anybody, but you get the 12-team playoff, so it expands, and then you get the expansion of the Big Ten, so you drop the divisions. And now Indiana not only has a chance to be a playoff team, but they have a chance to compete in the Big Ten and have a Big Ten schedule where you don't have to see those three teams over and over and over and over again. And they completely lucked out and don't have Penn State in the schedule this year, and Michigan's down. And then they went out and hired literally the best coach in the country. Like, it's – so you have the opportunity is presented to the university in terms of, like, there is power football, super – whatever you want to call it, super – like, these teams are – spots are up for grabs now. Because, like, that four-team playoff was locked down. Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson if they were good, Oklahoma if they were good. And if Texas could ever figure its shit out. But it never really felt like anybody else really had a chance to get there. TCU made it once. Washington made it a couple times. Oregon, if they could get hot, right? But that was a very closed-off environment. Now it feels like anybody can make a 12-team playoff.
It's beautiful. We could have the Cyclones and the BYU Cougars in the playoff.
Yeah, that BYU team with a bunch of 35-year-olds. They're all the team's really fucking good. But yeah, it's Indiana was able to hit that, get good at football at the right time. So now it's like, it's realistic that if Cignetti stays, that they build this thing out and this is a monster for like this is just the norm. Like yeah. this wasn't pulling teeth to get people to line up at fucking 4 o'clock on Friday for game day.
It's easy.
Like you can.
The school's ready for it.
So yeah, if I was Ohio State, if I was Michigan, if I was UCLA, if I was, I mean, Oregon's probably sitting pretty right now. If I was Oregon, I wouldn't really be looking at anybody else. But like USC, like, I mean, even Bama, like even if you're like Texas, like, if you don't have a guy who's taken you to a national championship in the last 5 years. Like, how do you not circling that guy?
I don't know. I really don't.
But yeah, but the whole thing is like, it's just, can you name me a good Adidas football school? Like University of Washington, probably the best one, right?
Louisville's probably
but like
there.
I'm talking about in terms of like recent success, like Washington just went to the championship and had their head coach poached. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. By the Nike school. I mean, honestly, I don't even say Alabama's the Nike school. Like Ohio State's probably a stronger Oregon. Nike brand.
Oregon, probably.
I'm disqualifying Oregon.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that type of money. We have the money. No,
Indiana has money. It's just about whether or not they're... Yeah, no. I'm sorry. It's just like...
It's not happening.
Lifetime contract. Just give them the lifetime contract so I can stop. It's over. Just worrying about it.
All right, five we got.
So
Northwestern.
Ignorant people like Ohio State can't say stupid shit like that.
Four we got Iowa. They rolled Northwestern. Rolled them. 40-14, better than Indiana did.
They were impressed by that. It's a good Iowa team. An Iowa team that can score 40 points scares me. I'm glad we don't have to see them, to be honest.
Yeah, they took care of business. This is the best Iowa offense in a long time.
Maybe, definitely in the last 3-4 years. Like, that's not even a question. Wasn't Spencer Petras a quarterback at Iowa at one point in the last 2 or 3 years?
He's killing at Utah State.
Shout out to Spencer Petras.
Yeah, number six, we got Illinois. You know, they're still, you know, they lost to Oregon. They got a good resume. They got good wins. Are they as good as Ohio State, Indiana, Penn State, Oregon? None of these teams I'm going to be listing later. It's a very big gap. Number seven, Michigan getting the big win in the cross-state rivalry. You know, they're figuring things out. They're able to, I can't wait to see our offense up against that. Wow, my Apple Watch just went off. I can't wait to see.
Man, that's embarrassing.
No, it's not.
Oh my god. Michigan.
Yeah, it's Michigan. They're going to be a tough out. One of the better teams in the conference. It's obviously just got to get that offense going. It looked good against, I guess, somewhat good against Michigan State. I can't wait to see our offense against Rourke, against that Michigan State defense. I can't wait. It's going to be Swiss cheese. It's going to be great to see. Wisconsin coming at 8. I still think they're, considered, good. With a loss to Penn State at home. Penn State, yeah, listen, clearly, Tom Allen, that's more so good on Penn State than it is bad for Wisconsin,
When James Franklin takes the USC job and Tom Allen becomes the head coach at Penn State, are we going to be surprised?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be shocked. Yeah, I will, a little bit.
Who's more likely to leave for a head coaching job, James Franklin or Tom Allen?
James Franklin. To leave schools? To get a
to
new...
To leave Penn State specifically?
Yeah.
For James a head Franklin. Coaching
James
job.
James Franklin. That's my answer. So I guess it's not crazy, but I'd be shocked if Penn State just promoted Tom Allen. That'd be insane by them. It'd be such a bad move. It'd be crazy.
Hey, the guys won in the Big Ten.
Yeah, Minnesota at 9, they blew out Maryland. Blew them out of the water.
Do I need to readjust how I feel about Minnesota?
A little bit.
They might not be bad.
They're 5-3. Max Brosmer put up 320 yards and 4 touchdowns on that Maryland defense at home. They rolled them. It wasn't even close. It was 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. Minnesota's real. To beat USC. Speaking of which, 10, USC.
USC stinks.
USC, 10.
Stinks.
Yeah, I might have them overranked here. But they did beat Rutgers by 20. Looked very impressive on a Friday night where there were no fans because everyone was watching the Dodger game.
Go blue, man.
Hell yeah.
Do you want to talk about that real quick? I know this is a college football podcast, but any negative Yankee talk is good on my watch.
Cool, yeah. We're up 2-0. Otani blew out his shoulder yesterday.
No, he's fine.
I know. I was about to say that. He's going to play.
All right, that's enough baseball. Go blue. All right, back to football.
Yeah, go blue. We're going to win the World Series. We're going to have a parade. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, go blue.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Go blue.
Washington, best 4-4 team in the country at
11.
Which is funny because I have a rank behind. USC is also 4-4. They play this weekend. So honestly, I'm loving Washington money line, even though I have ranked behind.
It's hard. It's you just destroy your own credit.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm gonna make a first ever live adjustment on the power rankings. Is I'm gonna flip flop those.
Feels like sports. Washington's got to be 10, right?
Yeah. Washington's 10. Because they're in the same tier, so I can just flip flop them around. Washington, yeah. Washington 10, USC 11.
It was a clerking error. That's what happened.
Yeah. Which makes sense because now they're 2 spots away from Nebraska, who's at 12. Checks out. I think I have this conference figured out after making that flip. I think it's all figured out.
I think you got it.
I think we got it because Minnesota wins game. Like the difference between Minnesota and Washington is that like they're basically the same team, but Minnesota wins games, and Washington some finds ways to lose games. Like that's the difference.
Washington doesn't win the game.
Yeah,
and
like
Washington wins the game.
Washington looks better than Minnesota, but they don't win the game. Minnesota looks
no,
worse
that's
than Washington,
fair. That's definitely fair. Yeah. You're like, damn, that team's kind of good, and they're just like...
And they'll just throw a pick 6 to Pons.
Yeah. Just hand Pons the ball and let him run the other direction.
Exactly. Yeah, so this is like the frisky tier, and then rounding that out, it's going to be Michigan State. They're pretty frisky. They hung around.
Childs, man.
Good. Yeah, Childs is figuring things out. Like, we're going to have a
test
against
him. Yeah, no picks
him.
For Childs.
Yeah. We're going to have a little test against him. 14 Maryland.
Another kid figuring it out.
14 Maryland. The computers love them. I don't know what it is. They're just better than these other bad teams, like UCLA at 15, Rutgers at 16. Northwestern 17, and then trash tier Purdue, who, thank God, didn't have to play football this week. I heard they lost.
They're talking about...
I heard they lost the bye week.
They're talking about extending Walters, so yeah, I think they did lose the bye week. What are the odds Drew Brees is the next head coach of Purdue?
I'll throw a name in there. Kyle Orton. I'll throw one in there.
Is he coaching?
No.
Neither is Drew.
What would make sense for Purdue? Should we do some Purdue head coaching?
What? Hey, Tom Allen would make sense for
Purdue. Oh my God, that'd be the best hire ever. Oh,
LEO up in West Lafayette.
Oh my God.
Walt Bell.
No, they hired Tom over Walt Bell. Come on, don't disrespect Tom like that. Come on. Western
no,
Michigan.
Tom, this is a scenario where Tom tells them no because he's a Hoosier until he dies.
I swear to God, if Purdue tries to go after one of our O's coordinators, I'm going to freak out.
They offer Sinceri.
Yeah, they go you for Shanahan.
Do you think any of those guys would go move to West Lafayette? Have you ever been there?
For head coaching money, yeah.
You ever been there?
Yeah.
I think you'd have a different answer.
It's a lot of brick. It's a lot of brick.
It is. It's a very brown campus.
It's a lot of brick. It's a lot.
It's always overcast.
Like the roads are brick. Everything's brick. It's just brick. It's just endless.
It's just sad. It's just a sad place.
Yeah, it's cloudy all the time.
Yeah. Not like the campus isn't like aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah. Anything in the national news of note that we need to recap from last week that we talked about? Oh yeah, McCord looked really bad.
Oh.
Genty took care of business. Texas escaped. Texas escaped. Miami didn't make it look like a home, like a rivalry game. A&M making Notre Dame look really good. I think that's something to note. That in terms of like the playoff picture, like if Texas A&M keeps winning, that looks good for two different bids.
LSU is good, so I don't think beating LSU justifies you jumping Indiana. Given
yeah, but A&M's looking like they're looking like a bid stealer.
Yeah, but they lost to a team that lost to NIU
at home.
At home. By transitive property, NIU is better than Texas A&M.
Yeah. Kansas State escapes Kansas in a rivalry game, I guess. Like, Big 12 is bad. Big 12
is
bad.
The Big 12 is not good.
It's a one-bid league. I saw whoever wins like, that conference, it's a one-bid league.
Saw something like, it was like a quote, it was like, Utah is not going to be used to playing in front of Big 12 crowds, and it was just like, I think it was Houston over the weekend, there was like 1,000 people there. It's like, yeah, where are all these fucking, where's the Big 12 crowd Utah is not going to be ready to play in front of?
Yeah, and Ole Miss struggled against a bad Oklahoma team. SEC is just not that good.
It's not. The Big Ten should be a four-bid league for sure.
Yeah. Duke almost beat SMU. They're so close. SMU takes on Pitt this week, so that's something to note. Big game.
Yeah, that could have been game day.
Where is game day this week? East Lansing?
Where do you think game day is this week?
I haven't looked at the...
You get one guess. Take a look at the slate. Figure out where game day is this week. I don't blame them at all. It checks out.
It checks out? Are you sure? Yeah, there's no way they're going to State Penn. There's no way. Oh, I know. They got to go to Army. Air Force at Army.
Of course they're going to State Penn. What are you talking about?
Air Force and Army. That's where they should go.
That's the biggest layup of the entire season. A meaningful whiteout game? Actually, I'm not even sure if this is the whiteout game.
Big Noon. I don't think it's a whiteout game.
Probably not.
They don't do whiteout at noon. They do it at
a night. A meaningful Penn State Ohio State game at Penn State. I would like before the season started. I would have bet my life savings that that was where the college game day was going.
Before the season, that was the same week as Oregon Michigan. So you know, I don't know if you.
Yeah, but we're also talking about how Michigan didn't have a quarterback going into the season.
It's true.
And they still arguably don't have a quarterback. Versus, like, if Penn State, a one-loss Penn State team hosting Ohio State, like, this is going to be Penn State's biggest game of the season for sure. Like, that's going to be a top-5 game day atmosphere of the season, probably.
It's crazy, but we have to root for Ohio State in this game.
Yeah, we do. Because we need Penn State to lose.
Yeah. So there's no tiebreakers involved.
OH.
I won't say it. Fuck Ohio. You can follow Sigs Inside. You can follow Sigs Inside at Indiana Football Podcast on Twitter, Sigs Inside Pod. You can follow myself at Bradley_Loomis8. You can follow Keezer at Alec Keezer. And check out Key Sports Network. Ha ha ha. Shout out the boys, Wave, Nick Skrill, Signar. Check out Friends and Collaborators, Instrumental Volume 1 on streaming platforms now. Intro song 1621 and outro song Butter Symphony. Are we going to throw an ad read on this one?
Yeah, we could throw an ad read on this one. We'll have to edit it in.
All right. We'll do that now. See you guys.
Sigs Inside, Indiana Football Podcast. What was the ha 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 for?
Key Sports Network.
Go Hoosiers. We'll see you guys later this week.
Go Dawgs.
Go Blues.